to God the glory.
Great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life in atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He has done. Great things He has taught us. Great things He has done. And great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son.
Done the work of salvation.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that it is a free gift if we just call upon Your name. Mm-hmm. Lord, that You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and Lord, make us Your own.
Thank You.
And thank You, Lord, this morning that we can sing about this, that we can praise You openly and with joy in our hearts, Lord, because of the work that You have done.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray that You would continue to work within us. And I pray that as we worship You this morning, as we praise You and lift up Your name, Lord, that You would be here in our midst. Lord, that Your presence would be here and that we would just see more of You and experience the life that is within You. Lord, we cannot do this on our own. It's nothing that we have done or that we have earned, but it is because of You, and we just give You the glory and the honor this morning. In Jesus' name. If you have a testimony this morning, feel free to share that in between songs. We'd love to rejoice with you of what God has done and what He's doing in your life.
Song. Yeah.
I sing that song, I think, is that true in my life? Is my soul truly satisfied with him alone? And when I think of my heart and the way that my heart so often wants to pursue things of this world or self and just comfort and just wanting to be safe, I know that so often my heart tends to wander, but my soul truly is only satisfied in him alone. We've been created for him. Like Deanna and Angel and I were talking, we were created for him. We were created in his likeness, in his image, to have a relationship with him. And we're not supposed to do this on our own. We're not supposed to try to live this life on our own. So I'm so thankful for his faithfulness, for his care every step of the way. And truly, only in him is there peace, is there true joy. So thankful for that this morning.
Be seated.
Good morning to each of you. I'd like to give you a hearty welcome, especially you Norwegians. Glad to have you here. Amen. I think we got Carrie, are you brother to Carrie understood? So, yep, welcome. Yep. So, thanks again to the Hershey family for your praise time and all. I think Carrie's got the children's lesson, and so maybe at this time, children, you can come forward.
All right, Benny. Oh, we got a few more. Okay. Well, I hope I'm not going to go too deep for you here this morning, Merrill. But I am going to call on a couple different people this morning to help me out. They don't know it yet, but we'll get them up here soon enough. Okay. Do you know what the Holy Spirit is? You've heard of it? Okay. Can you define it? No? Okay. I was actually this morning, I was like, how do I define this in a simple enough way? But I think the simplest way I can put it is it's God's Spirit living within us. Like the Holy Spirit comes down and he wants to dwell within us. Can you believe that? Like God actually wants to dwell within us. But what do you think is happening in my life right now that I might be thinking about the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues? Have any idea? Well, I'll tell you. I'm going to have to learn a new language. And I wasn't very good in school. You guys are all straight A students, right? You get good grades in kindergarten? You didn't start kindergarten yet? Homeschooled, okay. Yeah, I was home-teached too. Okay, I'm going to read you a story here from Acts chapter 2, and then I'm going to have some people help me illustrate this, okay? So when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. It's talking about the early church and the apostles, the disciples. You remember Peter, James, and John, little rowboat, right? No? Okay. Well, they were all together. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire, divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It's pretty exciting. And began to speak in other tongues. Do you know what another tongue is?
Another language.
Another language, okay. Can you speak Pig Latin?
No.
You don't. Do you know what Pig Latin is?
Other country.
That's Dutch. I would have understood Pig Latin. I don't know. Is Pig Latin even a thing anymore?
I don't
think so. It isn't. You remember it though, don't you? Yeah. Olafo tulafu yulafu tulafu. Yeah, I know. It used to drive me crazy. My sister rattling that off. You could speak it, didn't you? Yeah. All right. So there was other tongues that were speaking things that you wouldn't understand. Because do you know what I'm speaking into you now? It's English. Okay. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. So they were from different countries, right? There's some maybe from probably not Mexico back then, but close. If Eli was here, I would have said Mexico. But he would have brought tacos in somehow, and we would have all been hungry. So the devout men from every nation under heaven, and at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered. They were puzzled. They were like, what in the world's happening? Because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. So if you went to the middle of Mexico, it would be pretty puzzling for you if all of a sudden you were sitting in church and they started speaking English. Right? So, and this is where it's going to get interesting, all right? So I'm going to have Phil stand up here, and I'm going to ask Conrad to stand up here. Well, they're busy. They're not paying any attention. Oh, you're standing up. Okay, Phil's not paying any. Okay. So I want you guys come up here. All right. So I want Conrad, I want you to talk to Phil. I want you to tell him how wonderfully he is dressed and how good he looks this morning in Norwegian.
We had that conversation.
So now, did you understand what he said? Now, Phil, you can go ahead and tell Conrad how annoying he is that he had to speak to you like that. No, I don't care. You can say whatever you want to Conrad. In Dutch. Can you guys understand each other at all? You can understand a little bit of it?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you guys know so many different languages over there, so it's not fair. But but we didn't understand any of that, did we? Okay, you guys go sit down. But the amazing thing is that God living within them, because he rested upon them through his Holy Spirit, they were able to understand. You would have been able to understand him. Wouldn't that have been cool? Yeah, I'm hoping for the gift of tongues. Let's put it that way, because I'm hoping I can speak Thai really fast and learn it really quick. All right. So they were hearing every one of them speak in his own language, and they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Perithians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia. Even Asia, that's where I'm going. They were all hearing it in their language. Phrygia, oh my, I should have read through these words and practiced them a little bit. Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed. What does this mean? Wouldn't that be pretty cool? I think it'd be pretty amazing. So that's the story I was thinking about, because I was thinking about something you guys maybe don't hear all the time. But maybe some, and you want to share the love of Jesus Christ with them. You know what? They may not speak your language, but God can give you the ability to speak straight to them and they'll understand you. Wouldn't that be amazing? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the power of the Holy Spirit working within us. Let's desire to have the Holy Spirit filling us and overflowing through us, that we can share the glory of God to others. It's not about us. It's not about that, oh my, look what I did. The apostles, I don't even think, registered what they were doing. Maybe they did, but it was that they were able to speak and share, it says, of the mighty works of God. How amazing is that? What better thing could we have that we could speak in another language for? All right, you guys can go back.
Thanks, Brother Kerry, for that. I just kind of, with that, my thoughts this morning when I was getting dressed is I was thinking about the youth retreat coming up, and we have multiple different cultures and people from across the world coming together. And I had to think, of course, like you've already known, my brain works in analogies, is, you know, so many times we all came to this Redeemed Community Church. This was our point that we all here to meet. And you think about it in a spiritual sense is we all took a different route to get here. We all took a different route. I had to travel gravel road. some of you already may be in the express lane. You're already in that cruise lane going on. But what I'm getting to is we're all in different walks of life, but yet we're coming to the same place to worship God. And I just thinking, you know, thinking in regards to our youth retreat is, I told my wife this morning, sometimes I think we're not as far off from each other as what we think we are. Because in my line of work, I tell people, like, do you want to do 2 + 2 or 2 × 2? Get the same results. As people get sometimes hung up, I believe, too much on the process, because we all have our filter, our processors that we go through. And I guess just my encouragement is this coming week in particular, and is that we can give grace and to have understanding of each other, and just to show love, the fruits of the Spirit. I'm not trying to preach the first sermon here, so sorry. Anyway, we do have a guest speaker today. I'll let Brother Phil then make the intro on that. We do have a lunch prepared, so please feel free to hang around for that. We do have the men's Bible and book canceled this week at John's due to our youth retreat. Wednesday evening at 6:30 looks like. We have the welcome orientation for the youth retreat. There is, just for those who are interested, the youth retreat schedule is on the back of your bulletins. And then, as far as I know, I think, is it Thursday and Friday in our all nights, Phil? I guess kind of open to public, so feel free to invite.
Wednesday night is as well.
So, yeah, feel free to invite family, friends, whoever. They might be interested. We have some birthdays this month, so if they want to pull that up. I guess I'm like, wow, Carrie and Sarita got 1 week apart, so you get to do a double whammy. So. Today, yeah. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Carrie. Happy birthday to you. So, yeah, happy birthday to each of you, and may God continue to bless each and every one of you in your journey. I'll turn the time over to Brother Phil.
Amen. It is one of my great pleasures to introduce Brother Tormod to you, brothers and sisters, and all of the Norwegians. To have you here this week with us is a dream come true. The Lord had connected us, for those of you who don't know, back in 2010, I think, was the first year that Katie and I were invited to go over there to their conference. And this is what the Lord has done in our lives since then. The Lord took my heart to Psalm 133. Behold, look at this. That's what that word means. Look at this, guys. How good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. That's been my experience in our relationship together in these last 15 years. It's been such a joy in just journeying the Christian life together with you. And the Lord's blessing. You know, when we build relationships that the Lord leads us into, don't take it lightly. The Lord's blessing is upon it forever when we seek the unity of the love of Christ out in each other in that relationship. And that's been the journey of our relationship together, and it's been that to me. Like that anointing oil over Aaron. And you know what that did to Aaron? It changed his life forever. Before that, he was just Moses' brother, Moses' spokesman. But after that, he became the high priest of Israel, ministering to God's people. And that's what this does. A unity among brothers and sisters in God's family brings us into a priesthood ministry together. So don't take it lightly as you sense the Lord leading you in unity with each other. I would have never thought in 2010, I didn't know if we would ever see each other again, really. We were just there at a conference for about, 7 days or so. But I knew the Lord had done something in our hearts. But the journey that of life the Lord has led us into and the experiences together, that priestly ministry has been there. And so this is just a continuation for me. And for the rest of you who have not met them up till today, my prayer is and my faith is it now will be to you. And that's why I'm so excited to have you guys here. We've asked Brother Tormod to share the word with us. Brother Tormod, would you come? He is one of the ministering elders there, along with Conrad and Per. And so let's give the time over to him. We'll pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our dear brother. Lord, I pray that you would anoint him with that anointing oil of your own Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would open up his heart and his mind to your word and just let the rivers of living water flow through him to us. to knit our hearts together in love and to continue to work this unity of the grace of Jesus Christ in us all and through us all. In Jesus' name.
Check. You can hear me? Yeah. Should I be here like this?
Yeah. Yep. You can be there or if you want to.
I can stand here in the beginning. Oh, nice to be here. Thank you so much for inviting us and letting us be here with you, staying in the Hotel John Esch. Really a blessing, designed by Sarah, a beautiful place. And it's been a blessing for us just thinking about coming here. We've been talking about it for a couple of years and planning, so it's finally time. And it's really, as you were saying in the beginning, like it's family. For me, it's family being here. Just coming in here, talking to you. He said he wanted to go to Norway, and I already invited him to my house. So it's like this in the Church of Christ, you know, that we are truly family. And that's amazing to experience for us. We had your brother to Eli visiting us for a month, I think. Really, he and Christy and the children blessing us for a whole month. It's been amazing. I know he's watching, and Konrad is behaving quite nice until now. So it's been really good for us just having them there. And this is how we view you. When you come to us, it's not like Phil, he's the preacher from America. It's like he's a brother. He's coming up to us as a brother. Yes. And it's the same with Lee and Christy and Katie and every one of you. So thank you for letting us come to you as well. And I hope we will be blessed by God. And it's a privilege to share a word with you this morning. It's something my eyes fell on a couple of weeks ago as I was reading through the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. So if you want to go there, you can open up your Bibles there. I will read from the ESV. I'm sorry if this is the wrong translation or something. It's the right one. Thank you. Oh, thanks. That's perfect. So it's actually about the unity, as we all already have shared a lot about. So I think this is a word from the Lord, actually. And I read from verses 1 in chapter 4 in Ephesians. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measures of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Wow, these words are full of truth, and what we see is something that I think is really dear on Paul's heart as he writes this. This is something that he really urges us to do, and it's something that he does as a prisoner. He's a prisoner urging other prisoners of Christ to live in a certain manner. And it's something about this calling, this invitation, this calling that we have that is so special. And it demands a kind of walk. It demands something that shows that this is what it really is, you know? It's an intense word when he urges us to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. And what we read is about this unity. It's about us being one in Christ. It's about all of us being united in one spirit, in one body. It's only one hope. It's only one Lord. So we're all connected into the same, into one. Such beautiful picture, and it's not just a picture, it's a beautiful reality. And what he is eager to, and he wants us to be eager to, is to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I think this is really vital to our gospel message too, the unity of the church. You know, this is actually something that Jesus talks about too, that when we share the gospel message about Jesus, they who listen to us, they will read us, they will read how we love one another. And that's what Jesus said too. He said, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So maintaining the unity of faith, there's only one body, one church. Is there really just one church? Yeah, I know about many churches. I think there's thousands of churches actually. And I've been talking a lot with my younger brother this summer, and we've been writing to each other, texting, and he's not in the faith. So I said, but he knows I'm a Christian, and we're talking, and I've shared a bit. And then he asked, so your truth is true, right? And you know, how can that be? There's almost 45,000 different churches, and even more different interpretations of the Bible. How can you have the truth? You know, if you share about Jesus, you will quickly come to this in your discussions, because people want to see Jesus. They want to see Jesus in our churches. They want to see this unity, that we are really one and that we are really one in Christ. So if we're not one, they don't trust our message, you know. We have to come through this kind of thing so often when we talk to people about Christ. And even my church, I think our church, we came out of a church split. I think yours did too, after some church splits. And actually the evangelical church is a split, you know, from the Catholic church, if you look at it like that. So there's many churches, and sometimes I think of many churches looking more like something, you know, like a freak show or something. Something, I wouldn't go there, I wouldn't send my own children there. That's the truth for me. You know, there's so many different churches and different styles of worship and, you know, different interpretations, different doctrines. So how can this be true then? And anyways, Jesus really said, if you love one another, they will see that you are my disciples. I think people will look at us and our faith as something powerless without love. Something that is not really working, not doing its job. And the unity in our churches is something that displays Christ and displays the truth of the gospel. So I think every local church, even the best and the good churches, local churches as yours and ours, we have struggles, we have problems. You know, we can look at the worst local churches and think like we're not like them, and we can think that we're the best church, and you know, everyone should be like us. But that's not how I view church either. It's not like I've come to the best local church in the world. Sorry, probably it could be, but it's not my thing to think like that. And if you read every letter from Paul, if you read, I think every book in the New Testament, you will see that there's conflict in the church from the beginning. There's all kinds of problems, splits. You know, they had parties in their churches from the beginning. So what is this unity that we are talking about? Is it not real? Or is it real? And what is unity? Is it some kind of emotional chemistry between us? Is it when you come into a church building, it's like you just feel warm and at home and it's so cozy and it's so nice? Is that the unity Christ is talking about and that Paul is eager to maintain? I don't think so. We have to look biblically on unity. Because the truth is that there is only one church. There is only one Christ. There is only one Lord. And He is the only head of the only one church. That's the truth. And Jesus, He's not in conflict with Himself at any point. And He's not in conflict with the Father. He's not in conflict with the Son, Himself, or with the Holy Spirit. There's unity in the Lord. And this unity is something real. It's some real unity that we can just long for to experience. And it's not some unity that He has held for Himself, that He's keeping all to Himself, because He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, here to bring us into this unity with the Father. So individually, and even in local churches, we are members of His body. But there are lots of problems in our churches. But still, even here, we can experience and know this true unity in Christ. I've been sitting in churches many times in my life, especially when I was young. Before I gave my life to Christ, I was sitting in churches almost as if I was sitting on a fence, just watching the church, just watching the preacher, just looking like, is he real? Is this real? I was like, I see someone was crying, someone was singing, someone was lifting their hands. I couldn't feel anything. And you can be in church like that, you know, you can just watch the church. But that doesn't bring you into the unity. Because the unity is not in the building. It's not even in the social environments. It's only in Christ. You have to be connected to Christ. He's the head of the body. He is the one who can keep all the body parts together and give them strength and give them life and use them. And sometimes we take names for our churches, of course. That's practical. But we always have to remember that it is only one true church. And we want to build this church because that's our heart. But actually, I think we're more like a ministry and a tool for Christ than we are the real church. And that's what we read too. He gave some to be apostles. He gave some to be prophets, to be evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. But as a pastor, Phil cannot make a church. As elders, we cannot build a church because it is something only Christ can do. But we have all been given gifts of the same and one Spirit. And He is using the gifts to build His church. Such beautiful the way He does it. And much of our churches, maybe, if we're honest, should be purified, maybe even burned down sometimes, because they do more damage. And if you read the Bible, you will see that it will be tested by fire. And I want to read a little bit from the book of Corinthians. As I get back to this, but just read a short chapter there. Not a full chapter, but 1 Corinthians 3. From verses 10. According to the grace of God given to me, this is Paul, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Because Paul is not there in this church anymore. He was there. But now he's in prison or somewhere else, writing to them. And there have been other teachers, evangelists, people building there. And he says, let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Christ is the foundation and the only foundation of a church. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So, what we see is the church is His church. It's only one true church. And it's only one foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And what I have learned to know in my life and experience with churches, because I've been to many different churches. I've been to charismatic churches, Pentecostal churches, like, you know, you can name every type of church, even sects, and, you know, I've been around. And even though we see a lot of problems in churches, I came to know that Christ, he builds a church and he will never fail his church.
Amen. That's right.
That's what I've learned. And I get to be a part of it. And I get to be a member in his building, which is a really high calling, as we read. And he makes everything beautiful with his church. He makes Jew and Greek, black and white. He makes women and men. We've all become one. We're all the same. That's so amazing. We take it for granted, but it's actually very radical when you think about it and you experience it. That there is no difference. There is no higher ranking here on this side or that side. And when I experience church more and more in my life, in the beginning I wanted to build, because I was in a youth kind of group, we wanted to build something really cool for Christ. We wanted to build the coolest organization and the coolest club, even cooler than the school club and all the other youth clubs, so everyone would love us and come to us. And I've been disappointed many times, because it never went the way I really thought it would do. But when I was born again, God showed me what church is more like than what I had seen it to be. And I think the church is more like a hospital, actually. You know, we're more like a hospital than a cruise ship or something, a cool place everyone wants to get to have fun. Last fall, I had to undergo a surgery, and it was in my stomach here. And after that, you're very weak, you know, a couple of days, a couple of nights there. And I was in the room, big room. I think we were four men in the same room. And one of them, he was almost, I think, maybe could have been living on the streets or something. And the other man, he was very rich. Seemed like a very respected man. And there was I, and there was another guy, and they changed. But what we had in common, that we were all weak men. We were all just weak men there. And we encouraged each other. Good luck with your operation. It will go, you know. And we were all in the same situation. I think that's a picture that gives us some of the truth of the church, that we are actually here to be saved, to be helped. And when you come here this Sunday, and when you meet people coming from all over the U.S. and even from Europe, as we did this youth camp, you can see them as someone who's just like you, probably having same problems, sometimes struggles, needs the same help that you need. But you are not there to just get help this week. You are there to be a brother or a sister. You know, you can see them as something, as someone who needs actually you. Because some of the gifts of the Spirit God has given to you. So we are to use our gifts, not like this. I have a gift. I need a church where I can use my gift. You know, I know I'm supposed to be a pastor here, or I'm supposed to be a prophet. No one sees my gifts. Well, if God has given you a gift, which you probably have, he sees your gift. You know, he has given you a gift, and he will stir it up in you. Of course, we are to see each other's gifts. We are to love each other, and we are to help each other to make it grow. Because we all are the tools. We all are given this to equip, to build up. That's what we are to do. But if you use that gift, you will see that God is building through you. That's amazing. And everyone is needed. I will not look it up. We can read from some other place where Paul is saying that the ear cannot say to the eye, I don't need you. No Christians are to be alone and say, I don't need any church. I can watch the Christian channels on YouTube or something like that. Because you need other Christians. You need to be a Christian to the other Christians. The Christian life is not to be alone or to walk alone. We are to walk in such a manner that we show Christ. And you have to do that with the church. My dad came out of a church where I grew up, and there were huge problems. We all very thankful today for not being in that church anymore. But it did something to my dad's faith in the beginning. He told me afterwards, like he lost his faith in one sense. But many years later, he said, actually, later he came to faith outside of that church because he met Jesus. He didn't really meet Jesus in that church. But when you meet Jesus, you become the church. But still he had struggles when it comes to churches. He was skeptic, very skeptic. For many years, he struggled listening to teaching, listening to sermons. And he told me, like, when I just hear a preacher, I just get sick in my stomach. Feel bad. Just the sound of preaching. But last winter, he had a new meeting with Jesus that did something to him, even though he's almost 70 years soon, 68 or something. He was renewed. And he met other Christians he didn't really think existed. And God spoke to him through them. And then he opened his heart again for other Christians too. So when I met him this summer, he told me, me and Mom, we just love listening to sermons now. And they even listen to the preaching on TV, and everything is food to them. They're really hungry now. Because they experience it in such a different way than before. It's because of Christ. And they can even listen to bad sermons and get something out of it. Sometimes I want to say, you shouldn't listen to him, Dad. But I just don't say it. Because I know God is speaking to him now. So we have to be open to Christ and what he's doing in our lives and in our churches. And we get to be a part of it. And it's a privilege for us to be a part of this week here. And God joins together. He joins us together not with sects and, you know, crazy churches, but with other Christians who are born again. You know, you should thank the Lord for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Even though you know them too well. Because God is really teaching you to be more like Christ in this imperfect congregation. Think of it, if everyone knows your needs here, everyone knows everything that you need, and they, every time you come in here, they just serve your needs. How will you be like Christ? How will you love like Christ, who was deceived, who was betrayed? We are to be like Christ, loving people, because they are his people. I just want to read from Jesus' words and his prayer. You don't need to look it up, but just listen. He's praying to the Father just before he's going to the cross. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. Will be that they may all be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So that's our testimony, our witness. And we get to be a part of this unity in this triune God. It's amazing. And unity is becoming one. It's two becoming or more becoming one. And we are to be conformed into something that both of us can fit into, then we all need to change, don't we? Then we all need to be formed. We are just clay or metal or wood or something, but it's going to hurt. I can see this is going to hurt. No, just kidding. But it's God who is the craftsman. He is the one who is forming us. So if we are to experience unity in church, I think it's by him conforming his image, isn't it? If John wants to be like Jesus, and Carrie wants to be like Jesus, that's strong enough. Nothing will separate them. They will have a unity only there. But he will form them both to kind of work more and more together, to build one another more and more up. And they will show them, each one, how can I build up my father-in-law? He will give you the wisdom. And we are not to compare ourselves with each other. We're not to copy each other. And that's what I love. When Eli came, we were expecting some Phil Jr. But he was nothing like Phil. He even wore shorts. And that has blessed us. That we can be, you know, we are different. It's not we are to be looking the same, dressing the same, talking the same. Amen. That's not unity. That's how the world creates unity. By force. You know, you have to be loyal to our values. You have to be loyal to our flag. It's a pride flag. Everyone has to stand before that flag and agree with this message. And if not, we let you know that you are not a part of us, you know. It's by force and fear, even violence. But the true unity only comes through grace that is given to me. So I will end with this. Reading from the beginning, what I started with in Ephesians. Chapter 4. So, from verses 1, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And here he comes. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. That's how we maintain the unity, I think. It's by walking in humility. And that's a good thing, because I think when Jesus puts you into his church, he does that through a cross, you know. Yes. You're the one who's being crucified there. He shows you that you are a sinner. He shows you that you are not worthy of being his disciple, that you are not worthy of being his church. So that's the starting point. But you don't ever grow up from that point, you know. You have to stay there. That's where we are to live. That we are nothing apart from the grace of God. We are not to look down on each other. We are to look up at each other, actually. See each other as higher than ourselves. That's Jesus. And it says, all humility. It's not like, you know, I can be with them and talk to them, but, you know, not them, you know. And gentleness. Jesus said, learn from me because I am gentle, I think he says. He is humble. He doesn't call us to live out or do something that he hasn't showed us that he is. So it's about becoming Christ-like. And when we are gentle, we do not force each other. We do not demand each other like people try in our lives. But we are meek. And we try to understand each other. We try to see each other. And we are to be patient. It takes time for every one of us growing into Christ, to maturing in Christ. But that's the goal of everyone, to mature into manhood, as it says. We are to be growing and growing and growing every day in our lives with Christ. That's what church is about. And we have to be patient. In families, we have to be patient with our children. We have to be patient with our parents and grandparents. And it even says bearing with one another in love. And when I was getting married, I read this verse and I was thinking, do I have to bear with her? Like, is that going to be a problem? I just want to be with her all the time. I just love her all the time. It's not going to be a problem for me. So even in marriages, it comes down to bearing with each other sometimes. Even the things, I remember you taught us this in summer camp. Even the things that is never going to change in her, we can bear with it. We can try to change each other, but some of it will fail. And that is love, bearing with one another in love. So we can be eager to maintaining the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And we sang this too, I think. Seal my heart to thy courts. There's a bond there, you know, between us and God. And it's a bond of peace when we live like this. And when we walk in this manner, there will be peace among us. And I think people will taste this kind of peace, because it's really rare. And even in my family, I experience my siblings, many of them doesn't know Christ, but they tell me, they can taste the peace in our family. And that's a testimony of Christ's grace. You know, that's something rare that they taste. When you drink of the Spirit, when you drink of Christ, you will be filled with Christ. And people will know. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for this reality, Lord. Thank you for this everlasting truth of this oneness, of this true unity, and that you have crafted us into yourself, Lord. And as Phil shared in the beginning, when you lead people in our way, when we make contact with other people that are born again, let us always each other and see each other and see what you will do. Relationships, Lord, that we are open to your leading, to your Holy Spirit. And this week, when people will come from all over to be here, I pray that you will really equip your church, Lord. Build your church, because the world needs to see. And we need this, Lord. We need this in our lives. We need to be growing in you. We need to be stronger, Lord. We need to be healthier. And we put our faith and our trust in you. Thank you for what you will do this week. And we welcome it, Lord. And we open our hearts to it.
Yes,
and I just pray for this church that you will bless them every week. This is a community church, Lord. Let them be a vital community for many of the neighbors here.
Amen.
That you will send them here. The children will come here to play and learn. Send them, Lord, to come into your kingdom through this church. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Okay. Just in case you were sitting here and asking the Lord, how can I be a part of this? What can I do to make a difference? I just want to give you this word, verse 20 and 21 of chapter 3. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Put your faith in him. If you're struggling because you don't feel like you're seeing it or you're experiencing it in the church, like Brother Tomod was sharing, thank you, brother. Like we sang this morning, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Put your faith in him. I have no faith in any one of you. My faith is in Christ Jesus for you. Big difference. Big difference. That's how we learn to love one another. Trust God for each other in our homes, in our marriage. I'm going to also just do something spontaneous a little here. Brother Milton Hershey, Carrie's brother, is also a brother who is pastoring elder in the church there in Indiana. Would you share with us for 5 minutes? I'm going to put him on the spot because that's what we pastors do to each other. And it's right to do that to each other. He blessed us 4.5 years ago when in February or the first Sunday in March, I think it was, when we opened these doors, he shared the word with us. And it blessed us. I don't remember anything that he shared that Sunday, but I do know it was a blessing. So I'm going to give him an opportunity to refresh me.
Well, I'll just say amen to what you shared, brother. And I forget your name. We talked quite a while last Friday evening, and some of the same themes we were talking about as far as the universal church and the fellowship that we share. my church probably doesn't look exactly like this church, but I was blessed this morning with the singing and the fellowship here, the openness. And for myself, I think our church and me as being one of the examples, one of the elders, one of the leaders in the church, that I could learn from you as a body to welcome visitors, to just be so open and welcoming and bringing them into the church and to share Christ with them. So I say amen to this morning, and I was blessed, so.
Thank you for that. The one thing about a minister around Phil, you got to be prepared in season, out of season. So, anyway, thanks, brother. Thanks, brother, for bringing the word. I could definitely sense that unity that you were speaking about this morning, even though we've never met in person. But I could sense that from the genuine heart, and I just thank you so much for that. Thanks, everyone, for coming again. Yeah, I just want to give a hearty amen to that. I really don't have any. So bring this to a close of our service. So why don't we all stand and we'll just have a dismissal and a blessing on the new meal. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and for your goodness to us. Lord, it's because of you that we're gathered in this way. Lord, we're from all across this world. And I just pray that this could be a time of a blessing and encouragement to one another. Lord, is to lift each other up and to encourage one another. And Lord, just to build our faith in you, Father. Lord, I just pray that you be with us throughout this day. Lord, continue to be with us in our conversation, in our interaction. We thank you for the food that's been prepared. I just pray you bless it to our bodies, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. We ask all in your name. Amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed.
Oh. Wait, this was sound.